Hugh Halter, in his book, The Tangible Kingdom, which is a great book, which I encourage you to borrow from me if you'd like, he writes this: the more we do together, the less individualistic we'll be. The more we become one with Christ, the less consumer-oriented we'll be. The more we do for others, the less materialistic we'll be. Isn't that true? I pray that that's our mission as we go forth. So we're going to go a little farther ahead now, and we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 42 to 47. And that's where we're going to stay for the rest of the message. So you don't have to put bookmarks in your Bible or try and figure out and go to the table of contents or anything, which, by the way, is not an act of shame or anything. You can go to the table of contents. It's okay. I encourage you to do it, actually, because then you'll become familiar where the books are. So Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The fellowship of the believers. And I'm going to read through it, and then we're going to spend some time on each part, just like we did in Acts 1. Now they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. There's that word again. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Now, because this passage starts with the word "and," we need to carefully look at what Luke was writing before that. Verse 41 says that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that number that day. See, in Acts chapter 2, Peter gave this great message at Pentecost. See, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they were filled with this power. And he gave this sermon, and 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000. That's not a typo or anything. That's actually 3,000 people. Can you imagine that? People were hearing the gospel and had their lives completely changed. The Holy Spirit was present for sure. And there are only about 500 people in Cremona. So maybe that puts it into perspective. 3,000 people. That's pretty incredible. And gave me perspective, at least. Now, after these people came to Christ, they immediately, and not after a few months or after going home and thinking about it, they immediately devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Just like the apostles modeled in Acts 1, these new believers were now forming small groups, praying, learning, and breaking bread together. And this breaking of bread in this first part of the passage is specifically the Lord's Supper, which we're going to be doing on the first Sunday of every month, starting in December. And I love how Luke brings it up, because the thing which we call communion is such a vital aspect to the fellowship of the believers. In verse 43 says that everyone was filled with awe. And again, when was the last time you were in awe? I love this word, awe. And when I think about awe, I think about going back to one of my favorite stories. It's in the book of Matthew, and it's also in Mark. And if you want to go to it, it's in Mark 4. But I'll retell it here. So it's the story of Jesus calming the storm. And some of this might be familiar to a lot of us. But there's a great storm. The disciples are in the boat, and they're freaking out. They think they're going to drown. The boat is tipping everywhere. And Jesus calms the storm in all of it. And it doesn't say the word awe. It doesn't say anything like that. But I really believe that when the disciples say, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" they're really in awe, aren't they? I mean, I would be. In this state of shock and amazement, the storm is gone. And you're in awe. Maybe it's time for us to rediscover this awe here at Cremona Congregational Church. And you know what? I would say it probably is, both as individuals and as a church. And in Acts 2 here, looking at verse 44, this verse and then to verse 47 is usually called the community life of the church. And verse 44 reads that all of those believers were together and had all things in common. Now I want us to read verse 44 with verse 45 as they really belong together. And this next verse talks about the community of believers selling their possessions. Now, this practice of sharing things and selling things may scare us a little bit. We're very careful of our possessions. A lot of us like to acquire things and have things, and that's okay to an extent, of course. And of course, some of us may not have a lot, and we may look at this passage and think, "Oh no, am I not able to do this? What am I supposed to do with this?" But I want to encourage you today to not feel inadequate. In fact, the last part of verse 45 clearly says that it was only to the need of the believers. What's important here is that we give to each other. If someone is in need, we give. And of course, everything that we have is God's anyway. To be good stewards of what God has given us so that we can bless each other is what we are called to do. In the last couple of verses of this passage, read that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, the breaking of bread here in this passage is actually referring to just meals in general. So they ate together with glad and generous hearts. And after this, Luke writes that the Lord added to their number daily. So what can we learn here? Well, firstly, I would say food is very important, as some of us saw last week with the great potluck. But there's more of that, isn't there? See, the reason that so many people were being saved is quite simple, actually. People who were outside of the church, people who didn't know of this Jesus person, because this Jesus thing, this Jesus story, was still very new. People who didn't know about this, they were so attracted to the lives of these Jesus followers. You see, it wasn't about the great programs that the apostles were having. It wasn't for the great preaching that Peter and others provided. It wasn't even because the group was growing, which can be attractive to some people. You see, it was because these people were living a life that was so countercultural to that day. To be together, to be united in the message of Christ, was so different to what was happening during that day. And I would even argue that it's different to what's happening in this world today. We are called to be a countercultural people. We're called to mess up the lives of people with the message of Jesus Christ. It can be a scary thing for our lives to be messed up. It can be scary to tell the gospel to other people. But it's what we're called to do. And Jesus taught this exact thing in the parable of the lamp in Matthew 5, 14 to 16. As he said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." God has placed here in Cremona. Amen? The way that we do things, the reason that we do things, should all glorify God. And I pray that may we be a town on a hill where the light shines brighter than anywhere. If you remember last week when I talked about how great the kingdom of heaven could be by comparing it to what heaven could be like, can you imagine what the kingdom would be like here? Can you imagine the fellowship of believers? Can you imagine being in those groups together, breaking bread, praying together, having potlucks? I know God has a plan, and it's up to us to discern this as a church. And as we look at this early church in the book of Acts, I want us to be reminded that God has not called us exactly to be like the church of Acts. Rather, God has called us here to be Cremona Congregational Church. He has placed us here for a reason. He's placed us here in this community amidst other communities in the area. And a lot of exciting things happened in the early part of the church in Acts. And a lot of exciting things will be happening here in the future. My challenge for all of you, including myself, is to not just be the dreamer, as I said last week, but to be the dreamer who puts it into action. Maybe God has given you a passion for something that we saw in Acts today. Maybe he's given you a passion for being in small community groups. Maybe he's given you the passion and gift of prayer. Maybe he's blessed you with a great job, and you're just looking for ways to give back to him. Whatever it is, as the body of Christ and with the power of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of heaven will come. And if there's one thing that I want us to reflect on this week, it's that we as fellow believers in the living God must take up our calling with confidence, to love each other, to show grace to each other, and to shine our light as a church in a dark world. Again, as I said last week, I encourage any of you to visit me, to talk to some of the leadership here. If you've been thinking about something about this, if God has placed something on your heart, God has given us gifts, and as stewards of those gifts, we are called to bless each other, others around us, and God, ultimately. See, I chose to go through these passages in Acts, as well as the passage in 1 Corinthians that Alan spoke on. I chose those ones not to have a step-by-step IKEA manual that I said last week, but in order for us to look and for the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds. Paul in 1 Corinthians makes sure to remind us that we are a body, and this body reflects the kingdom of heaven. I'm incredibly excited to see where this takes us, and I hope you are too. And next week, we're going to look at what the kingdom of heaven looks like for our world. As Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and Lord, for all these words that were spoken today. Lord, I pray that they glorify you. Lord, as we look to what to do in this church, in the community, the world, to bring the kingdom of heaven down, Lord, I pray that we don't become overwhelmed, but that we become united in you and your message for everyone on this earth. I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.